understanding God's secret and God's revelation. Understanding God's secret and God's revelation. Today, over the past week, of course, this would be the fifth lesson. And we have spent some time looking on the secret of God. The whole series of lessons is taken from the book of Deuteronomy 29. That is chapter 29 and verse 29 of the book of Deuteronomy. So we have had two or three lessons on the secret of God that God says belong to him. And the Almighty God meant it that there are some things we need not try. We are not going to understand it because God meant for those things to be his business. There are some things that God made a secret for some time. But he intend that after a while, it will no more be secret. The time would have come for him to reveal it. But then, the same passage tells us that not only does God have secrets that belong to God, the same passage tells us that the things that God revealed, the revelation spoken of there, the emphasis was on God's spoken or written revelation. God says that belongs to us. That's what we should spend our time on. Now, the emphasis of today's lesson will be on the process of this revelation, the things that belong to us, its origin, and the step that God took to get it to us. The passage read this morning in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, and from about verse 9. In fact, I could take you from around verse 7, because I think in my lesson today, I may have more than one occasion to refer to verse 7 of the passage of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. But in this passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, inspiration, the Holy Spirit, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, is giving us some understanding in respect to the process of this revelation that God says belong to us. In fact, let us hear from verse 7. Read from verse 7 for us.
But we speak the wisdom of God in mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world.
May I? The word mystery and the word hidden carries the same concept. Mystery means that which is hidden. Hidden are secret of the same idea. Read, brother.
which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew.
None of the top people in the world knew. May I just, you know, further in this lesson, I'm going to point out that which you and I embrace, called Christianity is the greatest and the highest wisdom the world has ever seen.
Amen, amen.
But you see, because you and I are exposed to the gospel and we take it for granted. Christianity going to ultimately prove that nothing in this world has any comparison to it.
That's right. That's right.
If you're sitting here this morning and you said, Mr. Mitchell, I had some time to waste, that's why I came here, I don't really believe all them business about Christianity. One day you will realize it is the greatest thing.
Amen.
Christianity going to prove itself what it claimed to be.
Amen.
And that when you hear Paul talk about, let me hear verse 7 again. Let me hear verse 7.
But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world.
May I? Remember, mystery means that which was once hidden or that which was once a secret but now has been revealed. That's remember, when not just this passage, but when you read throughout the New Testament about God's mystery, always remember it means something that was once a secret, something that was once hidden, something that was once folded up or tied up, but now it is made open. We have passages such as Romans chapter 16:25. We're not going to read this. I'm just pointing out some passages where you have the word mysteries used, and especially these three or four passages I'm giving you, they are self-explanatory. They help you to understand that the passage is speaking of something that was hidden, but now it is made known. As I've said, Romans chapter 16 and verse 25, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4 and verse 9, passage like Colossians chapter 1 verse 26, passage such as 1 Timothy chapter 3 and around verse 8 or somewhere there. All these are passages which speak about the mystery of God, and these passages to a greater or lesser extent explain that the mystery under consideration is now made known. We are given, as I've said, the process by which divine truth meant for us. Brother Mitchell, I thought you were talking about God's mystery, God's revelation. That's exactly what I'm talking about. When I said divine truth, is that same mystery that was once hidden that is now made open and plain. That's what I'm talking about. And what I'm saying that in this passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, we had read from verse 7, but verse 9 following, we are given the process by which this, which was meant for us, passes from the mind of God to the mind of God's people. Because that's exactly what the passage is about. The passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is telling and showing the step-by-step process by which, wait, the passage in Deuteronomy 29:29 says that the secret things belongeth unto the Almighty God, but the things that are revealed belongeth unto us. Now, that's Deuteronomy. But this passage now, of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 following, especially verse 9 through 14, is telling us how this truth, this mystery, this blessing, this wisdom of God that was meant to benefit us, that was kept a secret by God for ages, how it passes from God's mind to our mind. In fact, the passage under consideration will be using term like that, the mind or the heart. You know, but I need to point out a few things here. Verse 8. Let us hear verse 8.
Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
The intellectuals of the world, of all the ages past and the age present, were ignorant of God's secret. Are God's mystery. That's what verse 8 is telling you. Nobody, all the men and women that we exalt as great genius and whatever, they didn't know, they couldn't know God's secret. No one knows why for generation and for ages the human race was totally unaware of the secret or the gracious, needful purpose of God, which was kept from generation upon generation of human beings. We don't know why God kept it so long to himself. We do not know why God kept it from even angels. But what the apostle is trying to show us that the secret that God hid in himself was never made known until the coming of Jesus Christ. But it was meant for us. The revelation of God's mystery. What you say, Brother Mitchell? Yes, the revelation of God's mystery. Things unseen, and things unheard. That's the way the text describes it, the mystery of God. It was unseen. That means it wasn't seen by man or angel. And it was unheard. Neither man nor angel heard of it. It was not revealed to the worldly wise. It was not revealed to the impressive of the world. The Bible is going to tell us that you need a certain qualification to understand God's mystery. That's right. And that qualification is not scholastic qualification. It's not intellectual qualification. It is more an attitudinal qualification. Because the Bible tells us that the qualification is both moral and spiritual. That's right. When in one of the verse there, I think it is verse 10, when he says that God revealed, watch here, we are going to come to it. We are in verse 8 and 9, it tells you that it was kept a secret from God. In verse 7, it tells you that, verse 9, I think it tells you that eyes have not seen, neither man heard, the things that are prepared for them that love God. Then when he reached verse 10, he said, God revealed it to us. In other words, it's no more mystery. But it was not given to the worldly wise. Let me hear verse 9.
But as it is written, I have not seen, nor hear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him.
May I remember, keep this in focus. The revealed things of Deuteronomy 29:29. Come from the mind of God. So why Deuteronomy 29 tell you about the revealed things? The passage where we are now under consideration is telling us how it reaches our mind. Verse 9, which the brothers just read, first, the unseen things of God are undiscoverable.
Right.
Brother Mitchell, repeat that. That's what verse 9 is saying. If somebody didn't hear it, brother, read verse 9 again.
But as it is written, I have not seen, nor hear heard. Neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him.
So I repeat that the unseen, verse 9 is telling us, God's secret, God's mystery, the unseen things of God, they are undiscoverable. You cannot by research find them out if God does not assist you. And if God does not want you to know about it.
That's right.
That's why no angel, no man knew about it for all the umpteen hundred thousands of years the world lasts. Nobody knew how God will deal with man's sinful situation. The natural man, we are further told, cannot understand it. No human mind, no human intellect, however smart, however gifted, however bright, could come up with or invent how God would redeem man, how God would deal with man's sin. In fact, as we took the communion this morning, the simple step, profound but simple, because when the Almighty God had to resort to one of the persons in the Godhead coming down as God's Son to redeem us, when the Almighty God has instituted things like the communion, simple step, that is practiced wherever human beings live. When you think of the simplicity of that, if you are given the greatest intellect the world has ever seen, they could not come up with how to redeem man from destruction, eternal destruction. Man, notice the verse 9, that could not. It says eyes have not seen. So all the seeing we see, travel the world and see all you could see, you couldn't see anything to help you come up with a plan to redeem man. Years have not heard. All the here we hear. And now they have a lot of things like hearing aid. That could not help man to come up with a plan to redeem man. Then it talks about our intellect entered into the hearts of man. That is our intellect with all its great potential. It says that we use a very small capacity of our intellect. And if we use up all the capacity of our mind, we still could not come up.
That's right.
With that plan. When verse 9, I had not seen, ears have not, neither entered into the heart, that is the mind of man, the things that God prepared for man. May I? The only way to know. May I just point out something here when he talks that man could not. It is said that like is known only by like. And that is a fact. You ever notice how magnet doesn't attract a book? It has to be metallic. That's right. It magnet does not pull a piece of wood to it. It pulls metallic to it. That's the concept of like is known only by light. When we get down to verse 13, that's exactly the concept. When it talks about the natural man, who is that? Hopefully we get there in a little while. The only way to know the things in God's mind which the Almighty God had planned for us is through the revelation of God.
That's right.
That's what 1 Corinthians 9, chapter 2, verse 9 following is dealing about. Wait. And what the passage is telling us is that what you and I now take for granted, and we shouldn't, the gospel, the church, Christianity, it is telling us that so important was this. It referred to as the deep things of God. It's for God to come up with this type of plan to redeem us. The Almighty God have to go down in his wisdom. And you know what, brothers and sisters? The Almighty God kept this hidden, as I've said, from not only man, but from angel. May I? It was planned for us through God's planning. It was revealed to us from God's mind. But notice this, God revealed it not to any and anybody. God revealed it to a particular chosen set of men. Look at verse 10 and through verse 12.
But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man?
Wait. You find verse 10, 11, and 12, he started reasoning with us. You see, when we read about the things that are revealed in the book of Deuteronomy 29:29, there's a lot to it. And this passage is telling you that it was kept in God's mind. Start verse 10 again.
But God had revealed them unto us by...
Very important that this be kept in mind. Remember, it's revealed to the apostle for them to give it to us.
That's right.
And even that last us is revealed to the apostles for them to give it to us. This last us is not just any and anybody.
That's right.
That last us is the church.
Amen.
You understand? You see, so in verse 10, read again.
But God had revealed them unto us.
God revealed his mystery to us. That us, it's important that you do not play exalt.
Mm-hmm.
Because that us doesn't include you and me. It's coming close to you and me, you know, but it is the apostle. Read on, brother.
By his spirit.
That spirit, there is the Holy Spirit. Wait, this is referring to the guidance Jesus Christ promised to the apostle in John 16 and verse 13, and which became a reality on Pentecost and thereafter. Let us hear John 16 and verse 13.
Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth.
Brother Harton, the same Spirit of truth you are reading there is the same Spirit Paul is speaking about in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians. And what he's dealing with is the first revelation of God's plan of salvation in Jesus Christ, the man, as given to the apostle, starting with those special chosen men, chosen by Jesus Christ, not only to listen to Christ, but to be guided by the Holy Spirit and to write the New Testament, the gospel. But when he, the Spirit of truth, read now, brother.
Is come. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak.
May I? The guiding you into all truth here in that passage of St. John chapter 16 and verse 13 is not referring to us either. That's right. It doesn't mean the Holy Spirit doesn't guide us. Because it is the Holy Spirit that helps our mind to understand the gospel.
That's right.
May I just drop something here too, and I like to give brother. You see, y'all know that I'm kind. The more determination you show in understanding God's truth, is the more you have the Holy Spirit working with you to understand it. It's something that Christian must keep it. You will spend 100 years in the church and still there are some basic things for you to understand that you do not understand. Paul talks about that you are a babe in Christ and He tells in the book of Hebrews chapter 5 and chapter 6 about when by reason of time they are to be teachers, they have need for somebody to teach them again. He was saying they are retarded spiritually. They have not learned truth that they should learn to make them more productive in the church. And one of the ways that the Holy Spirit works with us is the Holy Spirit. Get this. The Holy Spirit watches your desire. How much hunger in you to know God's will. So those of us who take God's truth for granted and believe, we can have the Bible and sometimes for weeks and months we do not spend any personal time with it. We are deceiving ourselves. We are setting ourselves back. Can we come back to verse 10? Where are you? 1 Corinthians chapter 2.
Verse 10.
But
God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit.
By the Holy Spirit. That's right.
For the Spirit searcheth all things.
Mm-hmm.
Yea, the deep things of God.
Watch here. You see, the gospel is spiritual taught words.
That's right.
That's what the gospel is. And he's going to talk about this in verse 13, I think. It's verse 11 or 12 you have just read there.
Finish 10.
Read.
For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man.
May I? Man cannot guess the things that is hidden God.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit through Paul was reasoning with the Corinthians and by extension with us. And wait, what all this is telling us, appreciate what you have come into contact with the gospel.
Amen.
Appreciate it. It is pointing out the gospel is not like botany or biology or chemistry. You can research nature and you find it. No, you cannot research God like you research nature. Verse 11 again, quick, brother.
For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him?
You know, it does not matter how much the doctor dissect us. The things that is in the mind, you know, it's difficult for even the psychologists. In fact, the psychologists and the psychiatrists have to sometimes try to fathom some things through our action, where some of what is inside come out. But there are some things, it does matter how you cut up the brain and dissect it under microscope and whatever. You can't. The Bible says, when the Bible says that you cannot know what is in a mind, only the spirit of man knows. It's not talking so much about the biological aspect of man. It's talking about the psychological aspect of man. What is in our mind? Read on, brother.
Save the spirit of man which is in him. Mm-hmm. Even so, the things of
in
God.
The same way, the things of God.
Know it, no man. But this
and work with us to understand it. Can we know it?
That's right.
God had a reason for keeping his mystery about man's salvation secret for so long. And we must not ever think that intellectual smartness can help us arrive at knowledge of God's word. When Paul was writing,
but the Spirit of God.
but the Spirit of God. Only the Spirit of God knows what is in God.
That's right.
Read on, brother.
Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God.
Wait. Everybody get that? May I? The Almighty God knows that light is known only by lights.
Mm-hmm.
Watch here now. So what the passage is stating in our natural state, in our natural biological state, it matters not what type of brain God gives you or me. It matters not what we achieve at the highest prestigious university in the world. That does not give us entrance into understanding the things of God. Because lights are attracted only to lights, the Almighty God have to equip us. Are we all there? The Almighty God have to equip us to understand spiritual things. Read some more, dear brother.
That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, but they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned.
May I read verse 13 again?
Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth.
Watch here now. Read.
But which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
When we read verse 9, the Bible there, the passage there had told us that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things that God prepared. You must be mindful that this is not talking about after death and eternity. Verse 9 sounds like it's referring to what is in store for us when judgment come. That's not what is under consideration in verse 9. It speak about eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor entered into man's mind the things that are prepared. Verse 10 is telling you what he's talking about. Read verse 10.
But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit.
What he was talking about. The mysteries of God that was hidden. The things to open our eyes. The things to tell us what plan God has to deal with our greatest need. The need for forgiveness. The need to be in fellowship with God. That's what it is talk about. Spiritual things. But watch here. Read verse 10 again.
But God has revealed them unto us by
God
his Spirit.
God has revealed them unto us.
By his Spirit.
By his Spirit. Read on.
For the Spirit searcheth all things. Yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things
the
of a man?
The Spirit search all things. May I? The search here doesn't carry the concept that we usually put. Search doesn't mean the Holy Spirit have to go around searching. the idea here is that the Spirit selects those things that God wants man to know. And the Spirit makes it known to the apostle so that the apostle can write it in the gospel. May I said, let me hear first. I want to, in a few minutes, wrap up, but there are quite a few little things I want to make sure that we get. When verse 13, I think, talks about...
Which things also we speak, not in the words.
Notice, which things also we... We who, Paul, we the apostle, speak, but notice this, not in words.
Which man's wisdom teacheth.
That's very important, very important. Read on.
But which the Holy Ghost teacheth.
Brothers and sisters, this does not mean or imply a mechanical dictation. Very important that we get this. Not in words which man wisdom teach. What you mean, Paul? Paul is saying, when I went to university and tried to build up a vocabulary with big words to impress people, Paul says, when the Holy Spirit gives me God's truth, God's mystery to share with the church so that the church can share it with the world, it was not left up to me to impress you with the vocabulary that I tried to accumulate to impress you. The Holy Spirit helped me to choose the appropriate words. Yes, they are my words. They are words that I know. But when I could choose from three or four words and give you a word, use a word to impress you in respect to how educated I am, that you can leave and say, the man used some big word, we didn't even understand it. The man smart, you see?
Right.
No, the Holy Spirit would tell me, don't use that word. So in fact, not only what is also implied here, the different New Testament writer maintain their personality. This is why you can read Paul's writing and know that there are certain words to Paul, as against Peter. Certain words. So they maintain their personality. You see, I'm on this vision. Which things we speak, not in words that man wisdom teach. That is, when I go to college, when I go to university, when I get Webster dictionary and spend hours with it. When I was writing God's mystery, it was not left up to me while I have my personality. While I was still Paul or Carl Mitchell or whoever or Peter, the Holy Spirit guide me in selecting the right word to express God's mystery.
That's right.
That's what verse 13 is talking about. The writer's personality was not diminished or removed. It means that the Holy Spirit infallibly guides in the choice of words from the writer's own vocabulary. And this is important. May I? Brothers and sisters, I there are so much things to share here. But let me wrap up. When Paul, in this passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, expounded the coming of Jesus Christ and the doctrine of Christianity to meet man's most urgent and dire need, Paul was not speaking folly. Paul was setting forth the greatest, the truest, the highest wisdom the world has ever seen or listened to. And as I've said in the beginning, it will ultimately be seen that Christianity contains the profoundest of wisdom. That will ultimately be seen by every man that has ever lived. That the things that men mock, laugh at in Christianity, men will be sorry. Men and women laugh at Christianity and its teaching, not because Christianity is foolish, but because they are foolish. May I? Christianity has some unique distinction. Some things that distinguishes Christianity. Things that are just unique. They stand by themselves in reference to Christianity. One. Christianity is not of this world in its origin. That's one of the unique things. Did you know that literally all the religion that you see men and women sometimes compare to Christianity Islam and name it, they are religions started by finite, limited men of this world. Christianity is not of this world in its origin. It is beyond, above, and deeper than man's thinking. That's what verse 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is telling us. It's not of this world. That's one of Christianity's high distinction. Two, Christianity is not of the rulers nor of the intellectuals of this world. Christianity did not come about because of man's smartness. Listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 18 and 9, 18 through 20, quick. 1 Corinthians 1. I've just made the statement that Christianity is not of the rulers nor of the intellectuals of this world. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18 through 20 is about.
For the preaching of the cross
is to them
that perish foolishness.
That's why you see some of your friends, co-workers, when you tell them about church and Christianity, they laugh at you. And you don't realize that it's not because Christianity is foolish why they laugh. It's because they are foolish. Read on, brother.
But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
When a man or woman hear the gospel, the doctrine of Jesus Christ as taught in the New Testament, he associate that with God's wisdom and God's power and God's smartness for the preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are called, it is the power of God. Read.
For it is written.
It is written.
I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent.
That's going to happen. The worldly wise man who feel that God's ways doesn't worth his attention, he's going to have eternity to regret about that. Read on, brother.
Where is the wise?
Where is the wise? Corinthians, look around among you. If you see many of the so-called worldly wise that embrace Christian, it doesn't mean that there were none of them, but not as many as the simple, ordinary man in whom the Almighty God has placed the Spirit, so that that man, because of his or her humility, can understand the gospel. Read, brother.
Where is the scribe?
Where is the?
Scribe.
Scribe, that is the great writers of the world.
Where is the disputer?
Where are the disputers, that is the debaters of this world?
Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?
Read.
For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God.
It is because men in the world, secular men and women, feel that they are so wise that they do not embrace Christianity. They feel that what they are doing and what they are pursuing and what they have made their ambition, they believe it is so profound and deep. You talk about strong delusion. That's one of the areas God sends strong delusion. And what the passage here is saying, that's exactly that. That God going to make foolish what they exalt. What verse is that, brother?
Verse 21.
Yeah, you may stop there because I need to end this lesson. Another point about Christianity, about its unique distinction, is the fact that Christianity is spiritual and supernatural because God is spiritual and supernatural. You see, it takes a spiritual and a supernatural Christianity to lead man to a spiritual and a supernatural God. And last but not least, men speak of the wisdom of the ancient, that is the old men and women who live in the past. We refer to them as the ancient. Christianity is the wisdom of the ancient of days. Jesus Christ is referred to as the ancient of days. Christianity is from Jesus Christ. Verse 14 again. A few words on that, and the lesson will be yours. Verse 14.
But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. 14.
Stop there. The natural man receiveth not the Spirit. Read that again.
But the natural man receiveth not the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. neither can he know them.
May I, brothers and sisters, the worldly, the secular, the materialistic mind of the unregenerated men and women left to themselves cannot know God.
That's right.
It's important that we get this. It matters not how many university degrees a man or a woman has. It takes God assistance to place in us the agent that will open our mind to see the value and the importance of spiritual things. Verse 12 and 14 is on that point. The natural man, that is the worldly man, the secular, the person who is so tied and pulled by worldly things and worldly values, the materialistic mind. One of the reasons men and women are not going to church as much today as 20, 30 years ago is because of this materialistic attitude. Somebody was sharing with me, I think it was last year, that I think is Switzerland or Denmark carry out a research in this area. Why people are not tied to their church as 30, 40 years ago. And what was discovered? This is not a research carried out by search. It was by a church or dean. It was carried out by sociologists working for a government. And it was discovered is that as men become more materialistic, religion become a lesser importance to them. And this is why the Bible tells us that the worldly, secular, materialistic man, the ungenerated, regenerated man, men and women, when they are left to themselves, it matters not how many degrees they have, they cannot know God. Because the wisdom of the world and secular achievement, though it might be intellectual, does not in any way take you closer to understanding God and his purpose. So here we have it telling us that the way God's secret was transferred from the mind of God to the mind of man is that the Holy Spirit of God search, select those things that God wants man to know. And the Holy Spirit gave it, reveal it to the apostles. And the apostles reveal it through their writing to us. All of this is telling you and me to put great value and worth on Christianity and on the gospel. That's why it is called the wisdom of God. That's why it is referred to as the deep things of God. We are exposed to God's deep things today. Please don't take it for granted. And if you're here today, the ultimate goal of the gospel of Jesus Christ is to bring you to Christ. To help you to become a Christian. To help you to see the need that you are a sinner. And that sin will be taking you to an eternity. eternity of misery, while the mystery of God, the gospel of Christ, wants you to share in an eternity of joy and bliss and happiness. That's what God wants for you. But you get that through obedience to the gospel of Christ. Hearing the gospel, believing in Christ as your Lord and Savior, repenting of your sin, confessing Christ's name, or show that you're not ashamed of him, and getting baptized, not sprinkled, baptized, immersed for the remission of your sin.